Idleman Unplugged is part of the Edify Podcast Network.
I want to see your face pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Idleman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Idleman Unplugged. I'm your host, Luke Duncan, and on this episode of the podcast, Pastor Shane answers some common questions about fasting. Is fasting starving? Do you lose muscle when fasting? How long should I fast? Is juicing the same as fasting? All these questions and many more answered on this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
Thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found
We have started something called October Fast at our church. We are fasting for the month of October. Some people are 5 days into it, 5 days on water. Other people are intermittent fasting. Some people have blown it and are feeling discouraged. Let me encourage you, get back up. It's actually not the fall that hurts. It's staying down that does. So get back up, fall forward, get back on track. I can't tell you how many times I've been a day and a half, 2 days into a water fast. And I just grab some grapes or grab some nuts and just, you know, like, oh man, sorry I did that, but now I do feel a little bit better, but then back on track. Now, I'm not saying to do that, but I am giving you permission to fall forward when you do fall. So let's tackle some of the questions that came in. And you can put some in the comments there. Hopefully I can get to them all. I couldn't get to all the ones that came in, but the top ones. What about medication? Well, obviously I talked about talking with your physician. It's always good to talk to your physician. By the way, it's good to be on Facebook again. Interesting how it went off, the day of the whistleblower, but you know, not going to go there. Just let's stay focused on fasting. Come on, you guys. Anyway, so medication, you know, you have to be careful because most medication you have to wean off of. It isn't conducive with fasting. I can get into the why as far as an empty stomach, microbiome in your gut bacteria, what medication some of them do on taking those on an empty stomach. And so I would wean off, but talk to your physician. For example, a person can wean off of diabetic medication, especially type 2. Again, doctor's permission. Don't try to go after me on saying things I shouldn't. I'm telling you to get doctor's permission. This is a disclaimer. And then you can wean off of those things. I've known when I was in the health and fitness industry and I managed actually a district manager of 24-hour fitness in late 1990s. I saw dozens and dozens and dozens of people wean off of medication from diabetes to heart disease. Cause often medication is just like a band-aid it helps the symptoms sometimes, but it doesn't get to the underlying problem. So, but then the question came in, what about medication that's not that intrusive or, you know, not that important? Again, I don't know exactly what the medication is, but you know, do some research, come to your own conclusion, but you definitely want, if you're water fasting, you know, you have to pretty much get clean of all these things. But if you're not, you know, you're eating a little bit, then you can continue to take medication and wean off of that. And then obviously, what about multivitamins and things? You know, from the research I've done, from my own experience, I don't take anything at all while I'm, I guess we got to clarify. There's lots of juice fasting isn't juice fasting. It's feasting on juice. It's a high glucose content thing that you're consuming. So you're taking in a lot of sugar. Yes, you're losing weight because your caloric amount is down, your caloric deficit. So you're not taking in enough calories to sustain your body. So you're losing weight, but it's a lot of sugar juicing. So just be careful. I wouldn't juice personally. I would just eat the apple. But if you want to have a lot of greens, you know, doesn't taste good, but it's pretty healthy. Nothing wrong with a cup of that here and there and some apple cider vinegar and things like that. And what about a Daniel fast? Well, again, that's not fasting. That's healthy eating program. So biblically speaking, fasting is drinking water, nothing with nutritional value. What about coffee? Well, why drink coffee if it's a central nervous stimulant and can contain dozens and dozens of chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, when you're trying to cleanse your body? What about this? You know what? Just water, water when you're water fasting. Now, if you have a little bit of juice to, get through the day, I've had a drink before with, it's 10 calories, a little bit of strawberry in it with tons of water. You can barely taste it. You know, I had that a few times. And so, you know, I don't get legalistic about it, but you have to understand that it's water fasting. So I don't remember what the point is. Maybe somebody can bring me back to the point. But my point is, also on medication, that what about high blood pressure? Well, you see, here's something interesting. Fasting lowers high blood pressure, especially within a few days, water only. You're seeing some serious drops in numbers. However, if you're taking medication that lowers your high blood pressure, that's not a good combination, because then your blood pressure can drop below, below what is healthy as well. So anyway, more questions or comments, if you have those, put those in and I'll try to answer them. A couple other ones that came in on, but again, these are people who are well into their fast, maybe 4 days. Let's say, why is day two so hard, or day three? It's because if you're water fasting again, you get the keto flu. It's when your body is switching from stored glycogen in your liver and muscle to now it's switching toward or to ketone bodies, fat as your fuel. Very good. But so many people quit so early in the game. They get to day four, day five, and they quit. They should have just kept going and let the body cleanse itself. Oh, I know what I was talking about. I don't take multivitamins or minerals or supplements when I'm fasting, you know, unless, you know, a couple weeks into it, you feel like you need some sodium or potassium. But because your body already has stored vitamins and minerals already stored in the cells, primarily the fat cells. So when you utilize those fat cells, you get those vitamins and nutrients in the right proportion. So I wouldn't want to take, you know, let's say tons of zinc or something when it's gonna knock off that balance. Also, if I take a lot of vitamin C, let's say I'm coming down with a cold, that immune response is going to, you know, it's gonna kind of interfere with the fasting and the autophagy that's taking place. So more than likely, it's good to just let it run its course. Let the fasting just, you know, you don't have to necessarily take supplements. However, if you do, that's up to you. And you also can research. There was a guy in Scotland. People think if you fast, you will hold on to fat. Okay, that's interesting. So we'll get to that in a minute. But there's a guy in Scotland who fasted. Are you ready for this? Drum roll. Fasted, water fasted for over a year. I can't even comprehend that. But it's all documented. Scotland University, I believe. You can find it in my book. All my books are free on our church website to download. And he did take supplements. The doctors had him on supplements. And that's why it's good when you're water fasting, if possible, have a physician monitor, you know, progress, monitor your blood work, your heart rate when possible. You know, if you're real low in potassium or magnesium, you know, that you don't want to go too long like that as well. So anyway, I tend to trust God and step out in faith and let the body work how it should work. But also we want to use wisdom. So people think if you fast, you will hold on to fat. I don't understand that one, because it's absolutely impossible, because the fat that we're holding, what fat is, in addition to protecting your organs and things like that, of course, and holding on to some nutrients and things, the fat is reserved energy. And how God created us is times of feasting, times of famine. It's not times of gluttony. It's times of, you know, consuming, and you can put on some fat. And then so when you go into fasting, immediately within 16 to 24 hours, you're going to start burning some of that fat tissue. Those fat cells are broken down and they are used and converted as energy. So anyway, that's how fasting would work in that regard. You don't hold on to fat. You actually burn fat. Now, here's where you want to be careful, is because let's say, for example, one fast I did, you know, you lose, let's see, 30 pounds or 20 pounds. Well, as soon as you start eating, I mean, you're going to fill the glycogen storage tanks. It's like refueling your car. You know, you're going to get a good 8 to 10 pounds right back within probably that first 2-3 days. But then the fat does not have to come back. There are many studies out there. You can maintain your lean muscle mass and keep off maybe half the weight that you gained. You can keep half of that off. And then the rest, you know, you can just, it's just normal weight, water weight, muscle, you know, muscles getting full again, because glycogen is stored in your muscle and your liver. So you're going to get this fullness again when you come off the fast. So I tell people, you know, keep in mind, you're going to gain back half the weight. And you're going to actually gain back all the weight if you go back into poor eating habits. I try to get on a clean, whole foods, plant-based diet, of course, with living food, vibrant food, life-giving food, maybe a little bit of protein here and there, of course, with meat. I love raw goat milk. Don't tell anybody, because they get mad. You got to pasteurize. Well, that's a whole nother video. And, you know, that I'm not going to go there with that one. But anyway, So if you have more questions, go ahead and put those in the comments. Some of the other questions, you know, you get through that first, second, or third day, you do start to feel better, but there are ups and downs. But then people say, I can't believe how much my shoulder is hurting, you know, 4, 5, let's say 6 days into this, or my knee, I had knee issues years ago, and why is it hurting again? Well, something called retracing occurs. So your body begins to retrace old injuries and attempts to fix them. Scar tissue. So when I fast, sometimes my elbow, or my elbow too, but my shoulder and a lot of the scar tissue from when I was heavy bench pressing and lifting when I was younger, you know, the body is repairing itself. So the best thing to do with a water fast is, if you can, obviously, if you're emaciated, very slender. I mean, fasting is okay even for thin people because they do have fat. I'm pretty sure Jesus wasn't overweight when he fasted 40 days. So, you know, you just have to be careful. Use wisdom. Ideally, water fasting cleanses the body. It can aid in healing the body because it allows the body to engage autophagy. Autophagy is when your cells are broken down, and your bad cells, rogue cells. And that's why cancer, they see a lot of cancer tumors sometimes in remission, because cancer is often fueled by, guess what? Drum roll, please. Glucose. So again, why wouldn't encourage juicing for somebody who's a cancer patient, or lots of sugar, high fructose and fruit. It has a hard time feeding off ketone bodies. Cancer does. So what happens is, in autophagy, your cells go crazy and they begin to consume these dead and decaying tissues, and they also commit suicide. Some of the cells, I don't remember what it's called in there, the lysosome, maybe something in your cell next to the mitochondria, that actually is like a suicide button, and that cell will self-destruct. So you are so fearfully and wonderfully made that your body knows what tissue to go after, what cells to go after, what to consume for fuel, and leaves all the good stuff apart. Now, there's a mixed feelings on this. I noticed in the past, you know, let's say 12 days into water fast, on my sabbatical, I could do more push-ups than ever before. And so I don't think there's a lot of muscle loss, and your body goes into something called protein sparing mode. Your body actually spares the protein because it knows you need it, and it spares the breaking down of organs and vital things because it knows you need those, because God created us this way. However, I do think that your body will grab some fuel, especially during the first couple days, because, you know, your amino acids in the muscle can be broken down and utilized for fuel. And it seems to me, I do get, you know, my muscle, I don't seem as strong or muscular after a fast sometimes if it takes a little bit of that muscle from that. But there's research out there that would actually contradict that says you don't lose muscle mass. And so leave that up to the experts. I will say this. Fasting is way, 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 way more of the priority than losing a couple, you know, grams of protein. I'm sorry, of muscle when you're fasting. It outweighs the benefit big time. Now, I just talked about the physical benefits. My books talk more about the spiritual benefits, and that's why it's so hard, because it's a hunger strike against hell. You are giving up one appetite for a greater appetite, that being a passion and a desire for God. So any last minute questions here? I see Margie's on, Laura, Cinda. You guys have any questions? Rose, Chuck, people are coming in from Texas. We have at Argentina last week, and different states are coming in. It's interesting to hear from all the feedback coming in. So anyway, so that's only if you have no more fat, you'd lose muscle. Okay, well, from my research in the past, even 20 years ago, with the National Academy of Sports Medicine, your body doesn't just, you know, hold on to exactly just fat. It will burn, because muscle can be utilized as fuel. It will burn some muscle, but majority of it is fat. Now, you'd have to have something called a DEXA scan, where they scan you before your fast, scan you during your fast, scan you after your fast, to see how much muscle you retained. And I have looked at some studies. Jason Fung, I pronounced his name wrong in the last video. Jason Fung is a doctor, but he believes in evolution, so I don't take a lot of what he says in that regard seriously, obviously. But he's got in his book, The Complete Guide on Fasting, which would be great for diabetes patients. He does have people who have had DEXA scans, and they don't really lose any muscle. So I just know that muscle can be converted easily for fuel, And if you drop down, yes, and that, to answer your question, yeah, if you get into where you pass the fasting mode and now you're into the starving mode, your body can then begin to definitely grab a lot from the muscle will become the primary food once you get into starving mode. But guess what? 99% of us watching this, and me included, we're not going to hit starving mode anytime soon. Even people don't believe me, but I could go right now easily 40 days of water. I'm not saying it'd be easy, not saying I could do it, but I could do that as far as my body reserves. I could, no problem at all. I could lose, 60 pounds and not be in starvation mode yet. Starvation mode, when you start to get that hunger back, it's in your throat and it's in your mouth and your body's like, I am hungry now. So for weeks, you're not hungry. There's no hunger. There's no desire for hunger because you're burning your fat as fuel. Your keto bodies are the fuel. And then when real hunger comes, like, okay, I've got a healthy appetite, time to eat. That's when how do you know we are fearfully and wonderfully made? It is amazing how incredible the body is made. That's why I cannot respect's not the word. I cannot understand why people do not embrace faith and belief in a God. Look around. Look how the body was made. This just all happened to single cell amoeba. The DNA and did this, and then now it became this, and then it formed a heart and a liver and, come on, guys. I mean, it's just, they don't want there to be a God. That's why they reject this whole concept of God. So anyways, are there any more fasting questions coming in? Let me know. Chuck, Sila, I think it is. Stana. Again, if you have questions, westsidechristianfellowship.org. My two books on fasting, you can download for free. Just download them or read them. It should really help. Ketone bodies, is that putting your body into ketosis? I've heard good and bad about that. Okay, the ketogenic diet. Personally, and again, there's different views out there. If you have a different view, you can share it on your own life page. But overall, looking how the body was made and how God made us, I don't see the ketogenic diet being something as a staple. Now, if somebody uses it for certain things, I think that's fine. But we were designed, did you know, and the carbohydrates have a bad rap out there, so do fats. And we were actually designed to consume carbohydrates. That's a chief source of energy. It's the quickest. And potatoes, sweet potatoes, you look at the abundance of what was probably grown in the Garden of Eden, and it was carbohydrates. And so for me, and I've tried, it's impossible for me to do a clean keto diet. That means lots of nuts and lots of avocados and lots of a big salad. And which that's not bad if you want to do that for a while, but I'm talking about sustaining that as a lifestyle. So maybe try the keto for a while. I wouldn't go the bacon and the ham and grease. That's not the healthy version of it. And your body will switch. What happens is when you go on a ketogenic diet, let's say you're not taking in any mini carbohydrates under 50 grams and under, your body's saying, where's the carbohydrates? I need carbohydrates. And once it starts to take them from the muscle and from the liver, and that can take a week or two, where water fasting, boom, 24 hours to 36 hours, you're in ketosis. A ketogenic diet can take you a few weeks because you're slowly depleting the storage tank. It'd be like driving your vehicle a couple hundred miles. It's going to take a while to empty the gas tank versus putting a big hole in the gas tank. Water fasting puts a big hole in the glucose gas tank. But on the flip side, we are eating way too many carbohydrates. We're eating the wrong types of carbohydrates. You've got white bread, white rice, crackers, cookies, chips. All these things are processed, meaning all the good nutrients have been removed. White rice, there shouldn't be such thing as white rice because there's no nutritional value. It spikes the glucose in us. So if we were moving more, we're walking daily, like Jesus walked, I think they estimate like 20 some thousand miles in his ministry. If you're walking, you're moving, you're working like we were designed, carbohydrates. I would shock you at how many carbohydrates I ate when I was in construction. I was 25 pounds less, and I was eating 5,000 calories a day, huge bowl of rice and pasta at night. I didn't gain any weight because I was just moving. So it depends on your lifestyle. If some people, if they have a desk job, and maybe a ketogenic diet would be great, and then add to that intermittent fasting. But keep in mind, it's long-term, it's going to be very, very difficult to keep up that type of lifestyle. And with the carbohydrates comes tons of fiber, beans, the yams, the sweet potatoes, regular potatoes, different kinds of beans, tons of not only fiber, but probiotic and great material for your microbiome. There's a little colony living in your gut. It's called gut. It's called microbiome. And they're finding how the study of that really affects our health and epigenetics, studying how it can actually change our genes. So you say cancer runs in my family. Not necessarily. Bad eating might, and it could be a predisposition to that, but you can change your lifestyle, and then epigenetics is showing that your genes can actually begin to change and send a different message to your DNA, and it's just incredible. So anyway, let's see, any more questions? Can someone overweight fast with only water, like someone over 50 to 100 pounds over? I would encourage you to go back and listen to the beginning of this video, because absolutely. Actually, those who are overweight are usually those best candidates for water fasting. There's a guy on YouTube, you know, how he lost 50 pounds in 50 days or something like that. I mean, I wouldn't recommend following those things to a T. But the key is you have to, you know, make sure you're knowledgeable. You talk to a physician. There's like True North Center, Dr. Alan Goldhammer. Again, I can't embrace a lot of what they believe spiritually and evolution sometimes. I don't know what Alan believes. But then there's another guy, I can't remember his name. He's down in Costa Rica and they've got great videos on it. I mean, that'd be great if you can afford to go to a fasting center for 3 weeks, but I can't afford to take a 3-hour break with 5 kids and everything going at the ministry. I don't think she'll care if I say this, but my wife is on day 5 of water fasting. Our church just started, October fast. We're praying. We're fasting for our nation. I'm not going to say what I'm doing until maybe the end. I'm not going to ask others what they're doing. I'm not going to text. I'm not going to probe. I'm just going to let God do in each of their hearts. But I'm a little jealous. I'm like, how are you able to cook for the kids? Okay, you're tired sometimes, but you still function. Like after day 2, I'm like on the couch for 6 hours. So people are different in that regard. But anyway, yes, water fasting is tremendous. And let's say you're going a day or two and you just blow it, get back on track. Oh, and then I blew it again on this day, get back on track. See, it's about finishing the journey, but make sure again, you talk to a physician, you do some medical work. But I would say that fasting is not worse than being, 100 pounds overweight. And I have a heart for those who struggle with being overweight, because I can easily, very easily. I'm right now, if I have 225 pounds, if you look at the charts, I should be anywhere between 165 and 185. If you're talking about slender and healthy and all that, maybe I can even do 195, depending on how muscular a person is. So technically, right now, I'm 25 to 40 pounds, what they would consider over my ideal weight. However, they do take into consideration, they don't on those charts, muscle and things like that. So anyway, let's see. It's all by God's grace that we're fasting. My wife would tell you that. Let's see. Any more questions coming in? Osteosporosis and drink, eat, take calcium daily. Could fasting for a long period be problematic for someone with osteosporosis? Well, as we know, that's, and again, I would encourage you to do your research. I'm not professing to be a medical advisor whatsoever. But with fasting, look into some of those videos I recommended. Dr. Daniel Pompa is good. Alan Goldhammer videos. Dr. Jason Fung. And I'm trying to remember the other one in Costa Rica. It'll come to me. But, I don't believe everything they say. You just got to take the good and, kind of put in your own filter. The guy in Costa Rica actually thinks you should just eat raw food. And when you leave the fasting center, just eat fruit. Talk about impossible. So anyway, that's good for him. If you're down there at a fasting center and that's your life in Costa Rica on the beach, you could probably do that. But anyway, to answer your question with osteosporosis, and I know I'm not pronouncing that right. It's a tongue twister for me with speech impediment. It's the depletion of calcium, bones and different things, but research it. In my opinion, from what I've seen, is that the body can actually heal in this area, because 50% of the energy is going to digest food, assimilate food, remove the toxins, and it's just exhausting. So when you give the body time to rest and recuperate, not only are you losing weight, which is actually easier on the bones, of course, and the body, the skeletal structure, and I don't know if this person's overweight or not, but not only are you doing that, now the bones can actually go in and repair themselves. And maybe calcium that was used for other things can be used for the bone area. Now, can you take calcium supplements while fasting? Again, I would do some research on that. We do know that the body can heal itself in many different ways. What are teeth made of? You know, it's a bone structure, and not root canals. I don't think that's you're too far gone with that. But with cavities, we've seen, and I've seen, and it's amazing how your cavities can actually, you know, the little marks that are on there, they can actually begin to be filled in by the bone rejuvenating itself. Again, this is not pie in the sky. God designed us very powerfully, and you can research all this. So anyway, hope that helps. I just hate to give, you know, wrong advice, and I'm not well versed in that area of calcium and bone depositing into the bones and it being, I know that a poor diet, poor nutrition and different things can take from, see what happens with osteosporosis too, is when you're deficit, when you're malnourished, and that's what's interesting with America. You look at our bodies and you think we're well fed, but we're actually malnourished because we're not getting in enough nutritional value from the food. So when you don't get nutritional value, fast food here, Starbucks here, crackers here, chips here, late night ice cream here, there's no calcium really. Well, what about dairy? Well, you'd have to research how much calcium is actually getting from the dairy, and does the pasteurization process, you know, kind of affect the calcium. I'm not real sure on that. It just came to me. But when you're depleting in all these things, where is your body getting the calcium it needs for cellular health for your cells? It's pulling that calcium from your bones. So when you get on a good diet, good exercise program, and then add some fasting to that, I can picture the body healing itself in this area of osteosporosis. So anyway, let's see. Yes, oh, the closeness to God. That is incredible. But let me encourage you, some days it's not incredible. This morning was very difficult for me. Moody, I just didn't want to study. My eyesight, headache a little bit. Got to work on the sermon. Don't miss the sermon this coming weekend too. I'm actually speaking in Torrance at Rolling Hills Covenant Church this weekend, 9/11. Would love to see you there. Today's not real great, but then other days I'll wake up and I just put on worship and I begin crying. I begin weeping. I end up sometimes on the floor on my knees just crying out to God. An hour goes by, an hour, and just the word comes alive. And then there's other mornings where it's difficult. And sometimes at night I'm just so excited and worshiping and going on a walk. And then other times it's hard, especially with kids at home and bad moods and things happen. And so, you know, it's like this, it's that's the importance of writing it out. So anyway, any more questions coming in? You can put them even after, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of comments. I'll try to get to those. Should someone who's overweight take the vaccine? You mentioned something about that on your YouTube video. Let's see, what did I mean on that one? Well, I can't mention that word because YouTube will ban me. Facebook will remove me. I think what I said is that those who are, and this is facts, those who are overweight and have health issues, underlying health issues already, are those the one more susceptible to COVID-19. And the morbidity rate, those who are dying, it's usually, and I've talked to nurses in the hospital and who have had patients, they've had to give the patient the phone to talk to their parents as they're gasping for, and it's a lot of these people are overweight or they're in bad shape, bad health. What happens, but when you're overweight, even right now, I get sick easier being 30, 40 pounds over the ideal weight. When you carry all this extra weight that you're not meant to, your heart is working harder. Your digestive system is working harder. You're taking in more toxins than you should, more food than you should. And your body is worn out. It's wearing down. Everything is being more difficult. Bad food, overweight, toxicity, and you can't fight off disease as quickly as possible. That's why kids can. It's not that they have a strong immune system and adults don't. Their body, especially if you're breastfeeding and things and not coming against those who can't, just saying, you know, the health of the milk, the health of the child. You see 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds, if they're eating pretty good and their immune system is high because they haven't yet begun to add toxins to the body. So on the vaccine issue, listen to my sermon when it's released. This is all falling under Romans 14. You have to do what you feel is best. I've got my own convictions from a health and holistic and natural standpoint, and some shenanigans going on, ulterior motives, agendas, but you know, I'm not going to go there. on this issue, Romans 14, you've got to allow people to do whatever they feel is best based on, I would encourage you to fast this month, fast and pray, and then make the best decision for you and your family. Let's see what else. Any other questions? So again, if that answers your question about the vaccine, Lou, I would do whatever you feel led to do. Let's just entertain this for a minute. Let's say the messenger RNA sends the right message. It's actually, you're not getting the virus on the vaccine. You're supposedly getting the messenger from the spike protein. You know, I'm not going to get into all that stuff. But let's just say it does, you know, help, you know, limit the effects of COVID-19, then an overweight person or an underweight person or any type of person would want to research that and make the best decision to their ability. So anyway, I don't know if overweight has anything to do with it, but if a person's more susceptible, then they want to look at all those different options. If I was overweight and worried about COVID, I would take it to the Lord. I would pray. I would get in his word, and then I would change my lifestyle and I'd do whatever it takes. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to spend the rest of your life living in health and vitality and more time for your children, grandchildren? Did you know that most people, most adults, as they get older, spend the last 10 years of their life, 10 years miserable, either in hospital homes, nursing care facilities, a lot of these things, because the choices we make now are going to determine how we live later. Now, I'm not the perfect example of this. I don't know how long I'm going to make it on this earth. I've messed up my body for a good few decades with steroids and alcohol and drugs and different things and not eating that great and loving Taco Bell, loving donuts, and, you know, but trying to do what I can here going forward.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Idleman Unplugged, be sure to send us your ideas and topics for future episodes of the podcast. You can send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I am your host of Idleman Unplugged. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.